высказал, высказал.
It's hard to find in Yonadiyoma, but I guess we'll have to talk about the lachs of snow, Leis Brera. So we'll just give a little bit of an overview. Maybe the snow will stop at Shabbos, so we won't have to deal with the shailas. But just in case it doesn't, so we should just familiarize ourselves anyway with some of the lachs of snow, particularly as it relates to, and mostly to Shabbos. Maybe we'll have some time afterwards, a few other things as well. So there is a very famous shaila that was a big topic this past Shabbos in some places. We seem to have dodged that particular storm, but in many communities had a very real shaila in terms of shoveling snow on Shabbos. So what exactly are the halachas? Is it permissible to shovel snow on Shabbos? Are they Yisrael? Are they Goy? What exactly are the parameters of this halacha? So there are a few different issues involved in shoveling snow. One is a basic question. Are you even allowed to move snow altogether? Forget about shoveling snow. You're allowed to make snowballs. You're allowed to make snowmen. You're allowed to move snow on Shabbos. Basic question is snow considered to be muktzah or not? So the Gemara in Maseches Eruvin talks about it almost, doesn't talk about snow, talks about rain. The Gemara raises the question in the fourth parak of Eruvin, whether rain that falls on Shabbos is muktzah or not. Why should it be muktzah? What's wrong with rain? So the Gemara raises the question of Nola, that we know that for the very first Mishnah, Maseches Beitza, talks about if something comes into existence on Shabbos and Yontif, so that's a problem. Nola, it's considered to be laid, born, comes into existence on Shabbos and Yontif, which is a subcategory of muktzah. So the Gemara raises the question, maybe rain is considered to be muktzah on Shabbos. So the Gemara ultimately rejects that. And the Gemara says, no, the rain is not something that's new. It's not that it's coming into existence. It existed. It was in the clouds already. So it's coming down. It's new for us, but it's still basically been around. And therefore, that wouldn't pose a problem of Nola. So that's what we pass in Halacha. The rain is not Nola. If it's not Nola, it's not Muktzah. What could possibly be wrong with rain that fell on Shabbos? So that's what most of the poskim said. The same is true for snow. Snow is the same as rain. What's the difference? A little colder, but it's the same basic halachic principle. So Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in a tshuva that he thinks that one could be mechalic, one could distinguish between rain and snow in the following. That in terms of Nola, they're really the same, and it really shouldn't be a problem. But Rav Moshe argued that maybe snow is worse than rain, because maybe snow is muktzah mamish. What does muktzah mamish mean? So anything which has no use whatsoever, it's like eitz and v'avonim, it's like sticks and stones. It's not a food, and it's not a kli, it's not a person, there's no shaychas whatsoever to use it for anything. So that's considered to be muktzah mamish, and that's even more chomer than regular, than other types of muktzah. So Rav Moshe says that when the Chazal say that rain is not a problem, you can move rain on Shabbos, the Gemara was only being dan mitam huchas nola, mitam huchas muktzah wasn't an issue, because the rain you could drink. So it basically does have its tzorech, so you could drink the water on Shabbos, so muktzah mamish it's not. Is it Nola? Is it not Nola? The Gemara ultimately rejects it and says it's not Nola. So therefore rain is okay. But snow, argues Rav Moshe, forget about Nola. I have a more serious problem. It's muktzah mamish. What are you going to do with snow? Meshuggah is going to eat snow. Meshuggah is going to drink snow. What are you going to do with snow? So I guess in the Lower East Side they didn't have too many snowball fights. So Rav Moshe says that therefore the snow is considered to be muktzah mamish, and you're not allowed to move snow b'chlal on Shabbos and Yom. That was Rav Moshe's psak. So others questioned Rav Moshe. They said, what do you mean the snow is muktzah mamish? You can't do anything with snow. The same way you could drink the rain, you can drink the snow also. Take up some snow and put in your mouth and enjoy it. And else, it's water. So lest anybody think that that's an impossibility. So today, Mary Yaakov was, we had a game every day on the hour where he's getting a job, he's applying for a job for a meteorologist. So every hour on the hour, he went outside to the table, which is sitting on the porch, and he measured, stuck his ruler in to see how many inches it is exactly advanced. I could tell you from the hours of 1 to 3, it was 2 inches an hour, 1.5 inches an hour, every cheshbon he's got. We just about finished the rule. Before Mincha, the rule is almost submerged. I should give you just an idea. We have to put on an addendum to the ruler for the night accumulations. But so every time he would go out there, so he would take a handful of fresh snow, and he would taste the delicious snow. So I asked him, did he make a bracha, shahakal burn, a fashio? He had a shear, is it an eichel, is it a mash? He wanted to hear, but it was an eichel, is it a mashke, a homach, like, is that? I said, tachlis, he was eating snow. Okay, it was clean snow, beautiful, fresh, burgerfield snow. It was clean snow. So, you see, beferish, Rav Moshe is not right. See, from Mary Yaakov, a rival against Rav Moshe, that normal people, okay, whatever, some people, normal 11 and a half year olds do eat or drink snow, and therefore it's called Roy Lekach, Liachil, and therefore it's not Muktzah Mamish. So since the Gemara rejects the Svar of Nolod, and we're most probably rejecting the Svar of Muktzah, so the Pasht Advarm is that snow is not Muktzah. That's what I think most poskim assume, that snow itself is not Muktzah. Just because snow is not Muktzah in Shabbos and Yontif doesn't mean you can do whatever you want with it. There's a problem making snowballs on Shabbos. The poskim write that you can't make snowballs and you can't make snowmen on Shabbos for a different reason. It's a shail of malach of boneh. Boneh. Come on, Rabbi, what's up with boneh? is also a shtickle boina, because the Gemara says in Masech Shabbos that making of cheese on Shabbos is a malacha of bona. What does malacha of bona mean? Malacha of bona means you take a lot of little pieces, you combine them together, and you make up a structure, you make a whole unit together. So the Gemara says when you make cheese, for all of those experts on making cheese, anyone know how to make cheese? I have no idea how to make cheese. When I was learning Masechet Avodah Zarah a couple of summers ago, so we were learning the sugyas of Gvinas Akum, so I decided that I have to figure out how to make cheese. It's ridiculous. I don't know how to do it. So I asked Rabbi Eidlitz from California. I asked him he's a big man in Kasheris. I asked him, do you have any like videos or anything about the cheese baking process? So he said he has a great video for me to watch. So I figured I'll watch it on Tisha B'Av in the afternoon, because I'm going to do Tisha B'Av in the afternoon anyway. Not learning, I'm just learning how to make cheese. So I was watching the video, but it was a kiddies video with music to it. So it was playing, it was a farmer in the, you know, farmer songs and barn songs, and showing the cow. And so I couldn't bring myself Tisha B'Av to watch that video. So I still don't know how to make cheese. So the bottom line is the Gemara says, when you make cheese, you take it in different pieces, the curds, the little mismuffet, the little curds, and you stuck them together, and comes out a big piece of olam cheese. So the Gemara says that's called baina on Shabbos. It's baina deraisa on Shabbos. So come to Poskim and say it's not limited to cheese, but it can apply to snow also. You take snow, you put it together, you make a snowman, put it together, you make a snowball. So you're taking little pieces, stuping them together. That could be a real problem with bone and Shabbos. Therefore, lemaisa, one should not make these kinds of things on Shabbos. Presumably, if one breaks it apart, so that would be called, when you throw a snowball, let's say I prepare all my snowballs for before Shabbos. So the guys in Meshach, I'm preparing all the snowballs for before Shabbos, so now they throw the snowball. So we can argue, maybe it's a Shalaf Soseh, because if making the snowball is an issue of Baina, then breaking the snowball is an issue of Soseh. So that's a real kasha, the Chorim of a real Shaila. Why is it more to eat cheese on Shabbos? The Nuchomri, can't eat cheese on Shabbos. Some posts came out of Shaila, why are you allowed to eat cheese on Shabbos? Why isn't it Soseh? So the Achron give you different reasons why it's not Soseh. Lamais, it's not. Lamais, you can eat cheese on Shabbos. But some of those reasons may not apply to breaking a snowball. So Lamais, you shouldn't make snowballs, you shouldn't throw snowballs on Shabbos, you shouldn't make snowmen, you shouldn't break snowmen all on Shabbos. Those are problems. Right, so the question is, would that be bona d'oraisa? Would it really be the real makoy of bona d'oraisa? So that's a shayla. It has to be some degree of shal kayama. There's a big machlokes of Rishonim, how kayama is kayama. Now that principle that you need kayama in malach in order to be d'oraisa, how long does kayama have to be? So there's a machlokes, the Rambam and the Rashba, the malach of kaysev, how long does writing have to last in order to be malach of d'oraisa? So the Rambam sounds like it just has to last until Shabbos is over. As long as you build something that can make it until the end of Shabbos, and according to the Rambam, it sounds like it depends when you make it. If I make it at night, it's got to last 24 hours. If I make it in the morning, it's got to last 12 hours. If I make it a minute before Mincha, it's got to last 20 minutes. As long as it makes it to the duration of Shabbos, so the simple meaning of the Rambam is, that's called the Malacha D'oraisa. That's called Shel Kayama. So the Rashba disagrees. The Rashba says Kayama means whatever the normal Mahalach of writing is. It means a person normally writes, and he wants the notes that he keeps to be around for a few months, so that's called Shel Kayama. If they disappear before those few months, that's not called Shel Kayama. So it cops a tremendous nafkamina ladina, that machlaik is the Rashba and Eretz Yisrael with the pens. And you have the dakta pens. So the Eretz Yisrael they made, one of the things they showed us on the trip, they make the...
Shab 8.
They make these the Shabbos pens. So for all the doctors who have to write certain things on Shabbos, that may not be real pikuach nefer. So we don't want to be mouthed to deraisas. So maybe we can be mouthed to certain derabonans, perhaps. Even that's not so bush, but maybe certain derabonans we can be mouthed there. So the question is, can the doctors write with these pens that the pen will only last for a short amount of time? Now, obviously, the ink's going to have to last. It's going to have to remain permanent till after Shabbos when you can write it over. Otherwise, what was the point of writing it? So the idea is, you write the notes on Shabbos morning. You take your notes, and they'll last until Sunday morning or something, 24 hours. But Matzai Shabbos, you quickly copy off your notes to a computer, whatever it is. So is that considered to be temporary? Is that considered to be permanent? So according to the Rambam, that's a Lachu D'oraisa, because according to the Rambam, as long as it made it till Shabbos, so Yechayev, that's called Kayama. But according to the Rashba, that would probably not be Kayama, because normal writing lasts more than 24 hours. Normal writing lasts a few months, so a few years. So that would be, according to the Rashba, that would not be a D'oraisa. That would probably be the same answer to the snowman. Depends how good your snowman is. If your snowman's really going to last it's going to last till Pesach, so then right. So I don't know, not sure. So either deraisa derabanan, even binyan derabanan is also, even a binyan shalaroy is also a derabanan. So there's some kind of malacha, either deraisa derabanan involved in making snowmen and making snowballs. But getting back to the moving in the snow, so the moving in the snow, we assume according to many posts, is not a problem with muktzah nolad against Rav Moshe. And when a person is shoveling snow, so what's he doing? I'm shoveling snow. I'm not making a tzura of anything. I'm just pushing the snow out of the way. So should that be a problem at all? So this shaila was presented to Rav Tzipa Yisrael Frank He was a Rav in Yerushalayim, so they usually don't get the Shalas too much in Yerushalayim, but they did. Every once in a while, you get a good snow in Yerushalayim. So the Shal in Yerushalayim was as follows, that in Maisa Shai Kachoy, it was a big snow on a Friday night, and a big snow on itself, was half an inch, okay, it was a big snow on a Friday night, and all the houses, the roofs, weren't so strong in the good old Yeshuv, and they were really afraid that all the roofs were going to cave in from the excess snow on the roof. So they presented the Shal to Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, L'maisa, Shabbos morning, you let it go up to the roof and start shoveling off, get rid of the snow to prevent the roof from caving in. Is there any malacha involved with that or not? So Rav Pesach Frank wrote in the tshuva, wrote the tshuva after Shabbos, and he wrote it in the Shabbat. He wrote the tshuva later, and he writes that he thinks maybe you can make the following distinction, that what possible malacha could be involved in shoveling snow. So he quotes as a discussion in the poskim in Shulchan Aruch about if you have a frozen lake on Shabbos, are you permitted to crack the ice of a frozen lake on Shabbos? Why would anybody in the right mind be cracking ice of a frozen lake? That's how they used to go to the mikveh. That was the Mesiris Nefesh. And in the old days, when there was no mikveh in town, so they would use, not all lakes are good for mikvahs. We spoke about this in the past also. But some lakes are good, but the lakes would freeze over in the wintertime. So the Nevi Yehuda writes and has a tshuva about where sometimes the husband has to accompany his wife to the mikveh. Because why does he have to go with his wife? Why can't she go herself? So the Nevi Yehuda writes, because he's got to bring the axe to chop the ice. So he's cracking open the ice for her. And the Nevi Yehuda has it writes in his tshuva that the woman is terrified to go down into the, rightfully so, she may not come up. So she's terrified to go down to the water, into the water by herself. So he has a shayla, can the husband hold her hand to support her going down to the mikveh? What's the shayla? The shayla, she's still a nida. Until she goes under the water, he's not allowed to touch her. So the Rebbe Yehuda has a tzad in his tshuva to say that since it's shalom b'derechiba, so it's clearly not b'derechiba, so therefore it would only be a derabanan, and the nature of the derabanan is shema yavo aleh, that they may come to the avera. So he says, Meshuggah is going to come to the avera. She's going to the mikveh in 1 second. She's going to the mikveh. So that maybe that gezerah doesn't apply if she's imminently mamish utot about to drop into the mikveh right now. So maybe that wouldn't be a problem. So not a beauty in the sun happens. It's a whole shtickle turn of tshuva. Can we be matur based on that? So just give you a little bit of a background. What was going on in Prague in the 1700s? Siddiquas was gross. Yeah, anyway, so. So the Magen Avraham discusses the Shaila Friday night. The woman has to go to the mikveh. You want to crack the ice. Is there anything wrong with cracking the ice on Friday night? Sounds doesn't sound like the most Shabbistic activity. So Shaz, what malach is involved? So the poskim discuss, maybe it's a malach of Soyser, that maybe the ice is considered to be like Mechubal HaKarka. The ice freezes onto the freezes the pond, and now the whole thing is frozen. It's like the ground. It's like connected to the ground. And when you start chopping away, it's like banging down a house. If I have something that's connected to the ground, and I start chopping away in it, so that's called malach of Soyser. So maybe that would be a problem. So the poskim pilpul back and forth, is that a problem or not? So then so Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank writes in the Shuva, maybe snow can be compared to that, maybe in the following distinction. So Lom Deshuva or Brisket Torah, there's two kinds of snow. There's snow that freezes onto the ground. So that snow, as everybody knows, when you first start to shovel the snow, if it's a good powdery snow, not like this snow, but if it's a good powdery snow, so the first couple of shovels are really easy. It's fluffy. It's not connected to the ground, but well, it's just sitting on the ground. But then when you get down to the bottom layer, when you have to start going at it with your, that's when the shovels start to break, and that's when you got to get the ice picks, and you have to start the stuff that's really stuck to the ground. So it's a bit of Frank said, maybe that's a problem, because something that's mamish stuck to the ground, maybe that's called mechubal karka, and breaking it up would be a shayla of soysa. So that's a possible svara that he has lechalik. So, but in terms of malacha, is there any real malacha besides that bottom layer, just to remove the extra snow on top? So he's not so sure that there should be any malacha involved whatsoever. Usually what I tell people when it comes to shoveling the snow, I say it depends. I said I like that people do it Ayde Goy. It's probably mutter mikra than Ayde Yisrael, but it's one of those pasnish, one of those guys go out, goes out there with a shovel, Shabbos morning, shoveling the whole snow. So it's not the best activity to be doing on Shabbos. It's a little bit of a mechzei, a kul d'chol. So if he's able to have a goy, do it for him, so I think that would be okay, even though we usually machmer and shilas of having goy work for you on Shabbos, kablonos, for something which is probably mut for you to do yourself, so I day goy would be me'ikra, then okay. Mustami, that's absurd. Davishin miskaven. Every time you're going to go, mustami, it's not necessarily going to actually break up the that ice. I don't know. Mustami, davishin miskaven. Mustami. Right. That's what according to Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, but Ikra Din, you could probably remove the top layer of snow. So I tell the people lechat chila, they should have a guy shovel the snow for them on Shabbos. If there's any real mamish unbelievable tzarech, someone's going to get hurt. People don't get hurt in snow. People get hurt in ice. So if somehow you're able to get the top lever off, and now you just want to get rid of the ice in the bottom, so rather than shoveling it, so the post can be able to put salt out on it, because there, your mama's not doing it, it's happening by itself, and if there's any problem whatsoever of a molid and muktzah, other kinds of potential problems, all those things are mutter b'makom hezek. We're afraid people are going to trip on the, people are going to slip on the ice, so one could be makel. So again, l'chadchila, I think it's better to have a goy do the shoveling on Shabbos. If for whatever reason one was shoveling on Shabbos, once you try to leave the bottom, and then you could just put salt in the bottom, it'll go by itself. I think salt is stomach. Let's say stomach's icy in the front on Shabbos, so I think that it's more to put salt down. The what? It's a couple. No one's going to fall. If it's a few inches, if it's 10 inches of snow, no one's getting hurt in snow. You're just going to fall.
It's so bad in Baltimore, you can't even walk 3 blocks. You're trying to make a million.
So tell him you should have a house like this. You can make a million.
Nice. Make a million block.
See, we do.
Yeah.
Is a choresh? I don't think it's a choresh. It's only on ground that's royal kach v'zriya. I mean, you're not going to plant in the.
You
can't be
the grass
though. Yeah, I don't think so. There's no grass in it. Ma'amir.
Collective gathering something that's naturally falling into a pile.
We passed it in Emer Elbrus with Karka, but that's only the raisa. But even with the rabbanon, that would be a problem. That's to be ma'amir. Not with Sayrech the Emer, you don't want to use it for anything, you just want to get it out of the way. I'm not sure that would be the guidelines of Lachsmam. Anyway, so that was just a little bit of a background in terms of the Shabbos angles of snow. What other possible halachas could snow play a role in? What? Tuma. Okay, could be. Mikvos, that's the most important, the next most important topic. We'll knock that off in 3 minutes. So what's the status of snow vis-a-vis Hilchos Mikvos? So here there's a big machlekes atanoim. Can you make a mikveh out of snow? So machlekes atanoim, the end of Mishnayis Mikvos, the snow mamshah, same as water. So there's a machlekes, we paskin, ikra din, that you can make a mikveh out of snow, but there's a machlekes at Rishonim. What does that mean, you can make a mikveh out of snow? So some Rishonim learn, that means you could toivel in it mamshah when it's snow. So I think we have definitely more than 40 saw out in the front yard, or any other place for that matter. So according to some Rishonim, you could do tefillah mamshah. You want to go to mikveh tonight, you can go into, just toivel into the snow. You have to be toivel kalim. You can take your forks and knives and your pots and put it into the snow. So some Rishonim say that. So most of the Rishonim don't say that. We don't pass like that. We pass in that tefillah b'shalach maybe is good for tshuva and other things like the Sfarim talk about. But in terms of Hilchos tefillah, so most of the Rishonim assume that that doesn't work. That when the Mishnah says you can toivel in snow, that means if you have a mound of snow and the snow melts, so then we assume that it's water. So then you're allowed to toivel in it. But by Shel Shom, in the state of being snow, you can't toivel in that. So that's a we generally noeg lahalacha. Therefore, one should not be toivel in snow. Even for the Tilus Yadayim, we really shouldn't rely on that. You know, whenever's kosher to be a mikveh, you're allowed to just stick your hands in and toivel your hands. So let's say a person wants to do the Tilus Yadayim today, instead of washing in the sink, so he goes outside, sticks his hands inside the snow. So some Rishonim say that would be good. And we tried, the Magen Avraham says not to rely on that. But since it's, most of the Rishonim say that the snow, Bashir Shom, the state of snow is not a kosher mikveh, so that would not be acceptable for the Tilus Yadayim. There's one opinion, some Acharanim write, that if you want to toivel glass is only the Rabbana, then maybe you could rely on the Mekilim. Even that we try not to rely on. The Chetchil, the kids, you have a Kelim Mekvin down, you should toivel the Kelim Mekvin, not in the snow. But the clue that we do have in terms of snow and Uchaz Mikvos is as follows, that at least according to most of the Rishonim, snow is not subject to the Psul of Sheuvim. It means water that was inside a Kli becomes possible for a Mikvah. So snow, in the state that it's in, is not subject to that Psul. So let's say you live in a place where there's no rain. So the only way to build a mikveh is to go and get blocks of ice or to pile up trucks of snow or something, and then to transport it and to bring it into a place where the mikveh is, and to then have it melt into water. So many Rishonim say that that's okay, even though when it's on the truck, so the truck is a kli, that doesn't disqualify the snow, because in the state of being snow, so it's nothing. It's not water. It's not subject to the psul of mayim she'uvim. The only thing is, the Chasam Sofer writes, you have to be very, very careful that the snow doesn't start to melt. The ice, blocks of ice don't start to melt in the process. Once it starts to melt, then it's water, and then the water becomes puzzle. So that's why what they do, Bizman Azeh, in some communities when they don't can't get rain, so they go get blocks of ice, and they go with the freezer trucks, so it's not going to melt, because I'm sorry if I couldn't envision that you can keep a truck frozen. But now they get these freezer trucks, and you take these big blocks of ice, and you stick it onto the back, into the truck, and it remains frozen, and then they bring it to the mikveh, then they dump it out, and they throw it into the mikveh, and they sit around and wait, turn around the heat, whatever, wait until it starts to melt, and when it melts, it becomes kosher. So in the state of being snow, ice, it's not the toivlin. When the state of being snow, you can't toivlin it. But once it melts, it's kosher, and it wasn't even a problem of shuvim. Not all the rishonim agreed to this kunz. So therefore, lechatchila, if you have an option, we try not to build mikvahs based on snow. If you have a normal rainfall, you should wait for it to rain. But there are communities today that do build mikvahs. So they're stuck, so they build mikvahs based on snow and ice as well. Yes, a little bit about the halachas of snow. So the Kaddish is the one as well.